The Ring and the Book by Robert Browning. Book 9, Part 2. Enough! Prepare, such lunacy announced, for downright lunacy. Insanit homo. Threat succeeds to threat, and blow redoubles below. His wife the block. But if a block, shall not she jar the hand that buffets her? The injurious idle stone rebounds, and hits the head of him who flung. Causeless rage breeds in the wife now rageful cause. Tyranny wakes rebellion from its sleep. Rebellion, say I? Rather, self-defense. Laudable wish to live and see good days pricks our Pompilia now to fly the fool by any means, at any price. Nay, more, nay, most of all, in the very interest of the fool, that, baffled of his blind desire at any price, were truliest victor so. Shall he effect his crime and lose his soul? No, dictates duty to a loving wife. Far better that the unconsummate blow, adroitly balked by her, should back again correctively admonish his own pate. Crime, then. The court is with me? She must crush. How crush it? By all efficacious means. And these? Why, what in woman should they be? With horns the bull, with teeth the lion fights. To woman, quoth the lyrist, quoted late, nor teeth nor horns, but beauty, nature gave. Pretty in the pagan. Who dares blame the use of armory thus allowed for natural? Exclaim against a seeming dubious play of the sole permitted weapon, spear, and shield alike, resorted to in the circumstance by poor Pompilia? Grant she somewhat plied arts that allure, the magic nod and wink, the witchery of gesture, spell of word, whereby the likelier to enlist this friend, yea, stranger, as a champion on her side? Such man, being but mere man, 'twas all she knew, must be made sure by beauty's silken bond, the weakness that subdues the strong and bows wisdom alike and folly. Grant the tale of the husband, which is false, were proved and true to the letter, or the letters, I should say, abominations he professed to find and fix upon Pompilia and the priest. Allow them hers, for though she could not write, in early days of Eve-like innocence that plucked no apple from the knowledge tree, yet at the serpent's word, Eve plucks and eats and knows, especially how to read and write. And so Pompilia, as a move of the maw, quoth Perseus, makes a parrot bid good day. A crow salute the concave, and a pie endeavor at proficiency in speech. So she, through hunger after fellowship, may well have learned, though late, to play the scribe. As indeed there's one letter on the list explicitly declares did happen here. You thought my letters could be none of mine, she tells her parents, mine, who wanted skill. But now I have the skill and write, you see. She needed right love letters, so she learned. Negatas artifex sequi voces, though this letter nowise scapes the common lot, but lies in the condemnation of the rest, found by the husband's self, who forged them all. Yet for the sacredness of argument, for this once an exemption shall it plead. Anything, anything to let the wheels of argument run glibly to their goal. Concede she wrote, which were preposterous, this and the other epistle. What of it? Where does the figment touch her candid fame? Being in peril of her life, my life not an hour's purchase, as the letter runs, and having but one stay in this extreme, out of the wide world, but a single friend, what could she other than resort to him? And how, with any hope, resort but thus? Shall modesty dare bid a stranger brave danger, disgrace, nay, death in her behalf? think to entice the sternness of the steel, yet spare love's lodestone, moving manly mind? Most of all, when such mind is hampered so by growth of circumstance athwart the life of the natural man, that decency forbids he stoop and take the common privilege, say frank, I love, as all the vulgar do. A man is wedded to philosophy, married to statesmanship. A man is old. A man is fettered by the foolishness he took for wisdom and talked 10 years since. A man is, like our friend the canon here, a priest, and wicked if he'd break his vow. Shall he dare love who may be pope one day? Despite the coil of such encumbrance here, suppose this man could love, unhappily, and would love, dared he only let love show. In case the woman of his love speaks first, from what embarrassment she sets him free. 'Tis I who break reserve, begin appeal, confess that, whether you love me or no, I love you. What an ease to dignity, what help of pride from the hard high-backed chair down to the carpet where the kittens bask, all under the pretense of gratitude. From all which I deduce the lady here was bound to proffer nothing short of love to the priest whose service was to save her. What? Shall she propose him lucre, dust of the mine, rubbish of the rock, some diamond, muckworm's prize, some pearl secreted by a sickly fish? Scarcely. She caters for a generous taste. 'Tis love shall beckon, beauty bid to breast, till all the Samson sink into the snare. Because, permit the end, permit therewith means to the end. How say you, good my lords? I hope you heard my adversary ring the changes on this precept. Now let me reverse the peal. Qui è dato licito fine, ad illum a sequendum ordinata, non sunt damnanda media. Licit end, enough was found in mere escape from death, to legalize our means, illicit else, of feigned love, false allurement, fancied fact. Thus Venus, losing Cupid on a day, see that idyllium mosci, seeking help in the anxiety of motherhood, allowably promised, who shall bring report where he has wandered to, my winged babe? I give him for reward a nectared kiss. But who brings safely back the truant self? His be a supersweet makes kiss seem cold. Are not these things writ for example's sake? To such permitted motive, then, refer all those professions else were hard explain, of hope, fear, jealousy, and the rest of love. He is Myrtillus, Amaryllis she. She burns, he freezes. All a mere device to catch and keep the man may save her life, whom otherwise nor catches she nor keeps. Worst once turns best now. In all faith she feigns. Feigning, the liker innocence to guilt, the truer to the life in what she feigns. How if Ulysses, when for public good he sunk particular qualms and played the spy, entered Troy's hostile gate in beggar's garb? How if he first had boggled at this clout, grown dainty o'er that clack-dish? Grime is grace to whoso gropes amid the dung for gold. Hence, beyond promises, we praise each proof that promise was not simply made to break, mere moonshine structure meant to fade at dawn. We praise as consequent and requisite what enemies allege were more than words, deeds, meetings at the window, twilight trysts, nocturnal entertainments in the dim old labyrinthine palace. Lies we know, inventions we long since turned inside out. Must such external semblance of intrigue demonstrate that intrigue there lurks perdu? Does every hazel sheath disclose a nut? He were a Molinist who dared maintain that midnight meetings in a screened alcove must argue folly in a matron, since so would he bring a slur on Judith's self. Commended beyond women that she lured the lustful to destruction through his lust. Pompilia took not Judith's liberty. No falchion find you in her hand to smite, no damsel to convey in dish the head of Holofernes. Style the canon so. Or is it the count? If I entangle me with my similitudes, if wax wings melt and earthward down I drop, not mine the fault. Blame your beneficence, O court, O sun, whereof the beamy smile affects my flight. What matter, so Pompilia's fame revive in the warmth that proved the bane of Icarus? Yea, we have shown it lawful, necessary, Pompilia leave her husband, seek the house of the parents, and because 'twixt home and home lies a long road with many a danger rife, lions by the way, and serpents in the path to rob and ravish. Much behooves she keep each shadow of suspicion from fair fame, for her own sake much, but for his sake more. The ingrate husband's evidence shall be plain witness to the world how white she walks in the mire she wanders through ere Rome she reach. And who so proper witness as a priest? Gainsay ye? Let me hear who dares gainsay. I hope we still can punish heretics. Give me the man, I say with him of Gath, that we may fight together. None, I think. The priest is granted me. Then, if a priest, one juvenile and potent, else mayhap that dragon our Saint George would slay, slays him. And should fair face accompany strong hand, the more complete equipment, nothing mars work, else praiseworthy, like a bodily flaw in the worker. As 'tis said Saint Paul himself deplored the check of the puny presence, still cheating his fulmination of its flash, albeit the bolt therein went true to oak. Therefore the agent, as prescribed, she takes, both juvenile and potent, handsome too, in all obedience. Good, you grant again? Do you? I would you were the husband, lords. How prompt and facile might departure be! How boldly would Pompilia and the priest march out of door, spread flag at beat of drum! But that inapprehensive Guido grants neither premise nor yet conclusion here, and purblind dreads a bear in every bush. For his own quietude and comfort, then, means must be found for flight in masquerade at hour when all things sleep, save jealousy. Right, judges. Therefore shall the lady's wit supply the boon thwart nature balks him of, and do him service with the potent drug, Helen's Nepenthe, as the lords opine, which respites blessedly each fretted nerve of the much-enduring man. Accordingly, there lies he, duly dosed and sound asleep, relieved of woes, or real, or raved about. While soft she leaves his side, he shall not wake, nor stop who steals away to join her friend, nor do him mischief should he catch that friend intent on more than friendly office. Nay, nor get himself raw head and bones laid bare in payment of his apparition. Thus would I defend the step, were the thing true, which is a fable, see my former speech, that Guido slept, who never slept a wink, through treachery and opiate from his wife, who not so much as knew what opiates mean. Now she may start, or, hist, a stoppage still. The journey is an enterprise of cost, as in campaigns we fight but others pay. Suis expensis nemo militat. 'Tis Guido's self we guard from accident, ensuring safety to Pompilia, versed nowise in misadventures by the way. Hard riding and rough quarters, the rude fare, the unready host. What magic mitigates each plague of travel to the unpracticed wife? Money, sweet sirs. And were the fiction fact, she helped herself thereto with liberal hand from out her husband's store? What fitter use was ever husband's money destined to? With bag and baggage, thus did Dido once decamp. For more authority, a queen. So is she fairly on her route at last, prepared for either fortune. Nay, and if the priest, now all aglow with enterprise, cool somewhat presently when fades the flush of the first adventure, clouded o'er belike by doubts, misgivings how the day may die, though born with such auroral brilliance, if the brow seem overpensive and the lip gin lag and lose the prattle lightsome late, vanquished by tedium of a prolonged jaunt in a close carriage or a jolting road, with only one young female substitute for 17 other canons of ripe age, were wont to keep him company in church. Shall not Pompilia haste to dissipate the silent cloud that, gathering, bodes her bale? Prop the irresoluteness may portend suspension of the project, check the flight, bring ruin on them both? Use every means, since means to the end are lawful. What in the way of wile should have allowance like a kiss, sagely and sisterly administered? Sororia saltem oscula. We find, such was the remedy her wit applied to each incipient scruple of the priest. If we believe, as while my wit is mine I cannot, what the driver testifies, Borsi, called Venerino, the mere tool of Guido and his friend the governor. Avowal I proved wrung from the wretch, after long rotting in imprisonment, as price of liberty and favor. Long they tempted, he at last succumbed, and lo, counted them out full tale, each kiss and more. The journey being one long embrace, quoth he. Still, though we shouldn't believe the driver's lie, nor even admit as probable excuse right reading of the riddle, as I urged in my first argument, with fruit perhaps, that what the owl-like eyes, at back of head, of the driver, drowsed by driving night and day, supposed a vulgar interchange of lips, this was but innocent jog of head against head, cheek meeting jowl as apple may touch pear from branch and branch contiguous in the wind, when autumn blusters and the orchard rocks, that rapid run and the rough road were cause of the casual ambiguity, no harm in the world to eyes awake and penetrative. Say, not to grasp a truth I can release and safely fight without, yet conquer still. Say, she kissed him. Say, he kissed her again. Such osculation was a potent means, a very efficacious help, no doubt. Such with a third part of her nectar did Venus imbue. Why should Pompilia fling the poet's declaration in his teeth? Pause to employ that, since it had success, and kept the priest her servant till the end. We must presume of energy enough, no wit superfluous, so permissible? The goal is gained. Day, night, and yet a day have run their round. A long and devious road is traversed. Many manners, various men, passed in review. What cities did they see? What hamlets mark? What profitable food for after meditation, call and store? Till Rome, that Rome whereof this voice would it might make our Molinists observe, that she is built upon a rock, nor shall their powers prevail against her. Rome, I say, is all but reached. One stage more, and they stop saved. Pluck up heart, ye pair, and forward then. Ah, nature, baffled she recurs, alas. Nature imperiously exacts her due. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Pompilia needs must acquiesce and swoon, give hopes alike and fears a breathing while. The innocent sleeps soundly, sound she sleeps. So let her slumber then, unguarded save by her own chastity, a triple male. And his good hand, whose stalwart arms have borne the sweet and senseless burthen like a babe from couch to couch, the serviceable strength. Nay, what an if he gazed rewardedly on the pale beauty prisoned in embrace, stooped over, stole a balmy breath perhaps for more assurance sleep was not to cease. Ut vidi, how I saw, succeeded by ut peri, how I sudden lost my brains. What harm ensured to her, unconscious quite? For curiosity, how natural! Importunateness, what a privilege in the ardent sex! And why curb ardor here? How can the priest but pity whom he saved? And pity is so near to love, and love so neighborly to all unreasonableness. As to love's object, whether love were sage or foolish, could Pompilia know or care, being still sound asleep as I premised? Thus the philosopher, absorbed by thought, even Archimedes, busy o'er a book, the wild besiegers sacked his Syracuse, was ignorant of the imminence of the point of the sword till it surprised him, let it stab, and never knew himself was dead at all. So sleep thou on, secure whate'er betide, for thou too hast thy problem hard to solve. How much beauty is compatible with so much innocence? Fit place, methinks, while in this task she rosily is lost, to treat of and repel objection here, which, frivolous I grant, my mind misgives may somehow still have flitted gadfly-like and teased the court at times. As if all said and done, there seemed, the court might nearly say, in a certain acceptation, somewhat more of what may pass for insincerity, falsehood, throughout the course Pompilia took, than befits Christian. Pagans held, we know, man always ought to aim at good and truth, not always put one thing in the same words. Non idem semper dicere sed spectare debemus. But the pagan yoke was light. Lie not at all, the exacter precept bids. Each least lie breaks the law, is sin we hold. I humble me, but venture to submit. What prevents sin, itself is sinless, sure. And sin which hinders sin of deeper dye, softens itself away by contrast so. Conceive me, little sin, by none at all, were properly condemned for great, but great, by greater, dwindles into small again. Now what is greatest sin of womanhood? That which unwomans it abolishes the nature of the woman, impudence. Who contradicts me here? Concede me, then, whatever friendly fault may interpose to save the sex from self-abolishment is three parts on the way to virtue's rank. And what is taxed here as duplicity, feint, wile, and trick, admitted for the nonce. What worse do one and all than interpose, hold, as it were, a deprecating hand, statuesquely, in the Medician mode, before some shame which modesty would veil? Who blames the gesture prettily perverse? Thus, lest ye miss a point illustrative, admit the husband's calumny, allow that the wife, having penned the epistle fraught with horrors, charge on charge of crime she heaped, of the head of Pietro and Violante, still presumed her parents. having dispatched the same to their arch-enemy Paolo, through free choice and no sort of compulsion in the world. Put case she next discards simplicity for craft, denies the voluntary act, declares herself a passive instrument in the husband's hands, that duped by knavery, she traced the characters she could not write, and took on trust the unread sense which read and recognized were to be spurned at once. Allow this calumny, I reiterate. Who is so dull as wonder at the pose of our Pompilia in the circumstance? Who sees not that the too ingenuous soul, repugnant even at a duty done, which brought beneath too scrutinizing glare the misdemeanors, buried in the dark, of the authors of her being, as believed? Stung to the quick at her impulsive deed, and willing to repair what harm it worked, she, wise in this beyond what Nero proved, who when folk urged the candid juvenile to sign the warrant, doomed the guilty dead, "Would I had never learned to write," quoth he. Pompilia rose above the Roman, cried, "To read or write I never learned at all." Oh, splendidly mendacious! But time fleets. Let us not linger. Hurry to the end, since flight does end, and that disastrously. Beware, ye blamed, desert for unsuccess. Disparage each expedient, else to praise, call failure folly. Man's best effort fails. After 10 years' resistance, Troy succumbed. Could valor save a town, Troy still had stood. Pompilia came off halting in no point of courage, conduct, her long journey through. But nature sank exhausted at the close, and, as I said, she swooned and slept all night. Morn breaks and brings the husband. We assist at the spectacle. Discovery succeeds. Ha! How is this? What moonstruck rage is here? Though we confess to partial frailty now, to error in a woman and a wife. Is't by the rough way she shall be reclaimed? Who bursts upon her chambered privacy? What crowd profanes the chaste cubiculum? What outcries and lewd laughter, scurrled gibe, and ribald jest to scare the ministrant, good angels that commerce with souls in sleep? Why, had the worst crowned Guido in his wish confirmed his most irrational surmise, yet there be bounds to man's emotion, checks to an immoderate astonishment. 'Tis decent horror, regulated wrath, befit our dispensation. Have we back the old pagan license? Shall a Vulcan clap his net of the sudden and expose the pair to the unquenchable universal mirth? A feat antiquity saw scandal in so clearly that the nauseous tale thereof, Demodocus his nugatory song, hath ever been concluded modern stuff impossible to the mouth of the grave muse. So foisted into that eighth odyssey by some impertinent pickthank. Oh, thou fool, Count Guido Franceschini, what didst gain by publishing thy secret to the world? Were all the precepts of the wise a waste, bred in thee not one touch of reverence? Admit thy wife, admonish we the fool. Were falseness self, why chronicle thy shame? Much rather should thy teeth bite out thy tongue, dumb lip consort with desecrated brow, silence become historiographer, and thou thine own Cornelius Tacitus. But virtue barred, still leaps the barrier, lords. Still moonlike penetrates the encroaching mist, and bursts all broad and bare on night, ye know. Surprised, then, in the garb of truth, perhaps, Pompilia, thus opposed, breaks obstacle, springs to her feet, and stands Thalassian pure, confronts the foe, nay, catches at his sword, and tries to kill the intruder. He complains. Why, so she gave her lord his lesson back. Crowned him, this time, the virtuous woman's way, with an exact obedience. He brought sword, She drew the same, since swords are meant to draw. Tell not me, 'tis sharp play with tools on edge. It was the husband chose the weapon here. Why did he not inaugurate the game with some gentility of apophthegm still pregnant on the philosophic page, some captivating cadence still a lisp of the poet's lyre? Such spells subdue the surge, make tame the tempest, much more mitigate the passions of the mind, and probably had moved Pompilia to a smiling blush. No, he must needs prefer the argument of the blow, and she obeyed in duty bound, returned him buffet ratiocinative. Ay, in the reasoner's own interest, for wife must follow whither husband leads, vindicate honor as himself prescribes, save him the very way himself bids save. No question but who jumps into a quag should stretch forth hand and pray us, pull me out, by the hand. Such were the customary cry. But Guido pleased to bid, leave hand alone, join both feet rather, jump upon my head, I extricate myself by the rebound. And dutifully, as enjoined, she jumped, drew his own sword, and menaced his own life. Anything to content a willful spouse. And so he was contented. One must do justice to the expedient which succeeds, strange as it seem. At flourish of the blade, the crowd drew back, stood breathless and abashed, then murmured, this should be no wanton wife, no conscience-stricken sinner caught in the act and patiently awaiting our first stone. But a poor hard-pressed, all-bewildered thing has rushed so far, misguidedly perhaps, meaning no more harm than a frightened sheep. She sought for aid, and if she made mistake and the man could aid most, why, so mortals do. Even the blessed Magdalene mistook far less forgivably. Consult the place, supposing him to be the gardener. Sir, she said, and so following. Why more words? Forthwith the wife is pronounced innocent. What would the husband more than gain his cause, and find that honor flash in the world's eye? His apprehension was lest soil had smirched. End of Part 2 of Book 9.